many of the freedoms that we now so enjoy and still enjoy in our country are because of the folks who have dedicated and given so much for those freedoms. So we thank you, sincerely thank you. For the next 3 weeks, it's going to be kind of a fun 3 weeks. We're going to be having kind of a go out to all nations kind of a theme. And we're going to be looking at an international focus. So we're going to take a few trips around different parts of the globe. We're going to kind of do some globe trotting over the next 3 weeks. We're going to hear some stories of people from right here from Bayside who have traveled overseas within the last year. They're going to share some of their stories with you. I also really hope that during this time that we highlight some of the key issues involved in having an international focus. Now, we just have to get really honest as we start in this, that we are unbelievably, as a culture, and I'm a part of this, ethnocentric. We are so overly focused on ourselves. That is almost a uniquely American USA thing. We are just very, very, we are convinced the world kind of revolves around us. And the reality is, if the world revolves around anywhere, it probably revolves around the Middle East. If we're going to have a focal point. But what we're hoping to do over these next 3 weeks is to get our mind and our focus off of ourselves. Now, that's hard. And that's a challenge. Because in this country, it is just bred into us that the world is all about the United States. But for the next 3 weeks, I hope to have us be more focused on a worldwide scope, because I think God would have us to be focused on a worldwide scope in a lot of different ways. The other thing I hope to do is to give us, over these next 3 weeks, some courage. Some courage to go and do the things that God is calling and telling us individually, and maybe even right here in America, to go and do. So I hope to do those two things over the next few weeks. Give us a focus internationally, and at the same time, stir us up and give us some courage and strength individually. Let's start this morning by reading this very, well-known passage of Scripture to us. We've focused on it much in our mission of going and making disciples. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 28. This is not new. We're going to basically be in two passages this morning, one in the New Testament, then we'll go to the Old for a little bit. Matthew 28, let's start in verse 16. Jesus giving what we have titled now the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples, this is Matthew 28, 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now that word doubt means to kind of flip-flop or waver between two different things. Now, have you ever had some time in your life where you've needed to do something, but you've been wavering on whether or not you're going to do it? Has God ever stirred you up to do something, whatever it is, but you've had that internal battle of like, am I going to do it or am I not? That's what the disciples were dealing with. There was some wavering going on here in this moment. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, first word says, go. That's going to be a theme for us today. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We're going to have a international focus. That word nations is the Greek word ethnos, which we get our word ethnic or ethnicity from. And really, the heart of that word is a people group. And so the gospel is all about bringing the good news of Jesus to every single people group on the planet. Every people group is what the gospel is about. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's open in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are filled with gratefulness and gratitude, God, that you are mighty to save. That you saved us by your good grace and the sacrifice and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that this morning. God, I pray that today we would be filled with courage. That we would be filled with a fervor and a diligence and a strength to go and do the things that we are called to go and do. And God, that can only come from you. So God, we lift this day up. We commit this time to you, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and make disciples. You know, any time that we are told to go somewhere that we have not gone before, or we are told to go and do something that we've never done before, it takes courage. Because naturally, fear will well up inside of you and inside of me. If you are called to go and do something you haven't done, or go somewhere you haven't gone, fear is the natural result. And so it takes courage to do and go, to go and do those things that we are supposed to do. Here, think of some new things that you've done in your life. Starting a new job. Were you nervous on the first day? A little anxiety? How about going to a new school? I remember my first day of going to college. I've told you about some of the first days of my school life. They weren't exactly the best. And I was nervous and I had fear. Anytime you do something, how about attending a new church? You know, well over 50% of us now at Bayside have found a new church in the last 4 years. So if you're new in the last 4 years, you're now in the majority. We've all had to face that fear of finding a new church. And it's a little scary. I remember when I was down in Eau Claire for the annual conference, and I went to church that morning in the conference church in Eau Claire. And I was nervous. I had a little bit of anxiety. I was like, whoa, I don't really know anybody. And that's a normal fear when you do something that's new or different. How about volunteering in a new program? You start something new, there's going to be a little bit of fear, a little anxiety. How about visiting a person you've never visited before out in the fellowship hall after church? How about if you see somebody and you think, you know what, I'm just going to go and visit. There's a little bit of fear. There's a little bit of anxiety that wells up within you. How about something big like being baptized? Any fear with baptism? Yeah, it's a step of obedience and it's a good and wonderful, blessed thing. But I know for those of you who've been baptized in the last year, there was a little fear associated with that decision. How about sharing your faith? Whoa, that's second only to like public speaking for most of us. Share your faith with a family member who doesn't know Jesus. Just go plan on doing that tomorrow and tell me if fear or anxiety doesn't well up within you. It wells up within me. I have a good friend of mine that I'm convinced I need to share the gospel with, and I'm scared just thinking about it. And I'm a pastor. That is normal. That is natural. Fear is a part of doing anything new. It's just who we are. How about giving sacrificially? How about when the Lord stirs you up to give a little bit more? Maybe an angel tree family or present. Or how about if you need to give? Will some fear? Yes, fear will well up. Anxiety will come. How about something when you're at school or work? How about not laughing at an inappropriate joke? How about when somebody shares something that you know I shouldn't be laughing at? You get fear. What, am I going to be ostracized? Am I then going to be laughed at? What if I don't participate in that thing that doesn't bring God glory? It's fear. How about loving the least of these? How about getting involved in the lives of people who are different than us? There's fear. It's different. It's new. We'll naturally be afraid. This calls for times of courage. Something inside knows we should do it, and yet it takes courage to actually do it. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to read a passage from Joshua chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament, 6th book. Joshua 1, these first 9 verses, and I want to just let you on a little bit of my life. These are the strongest verses in my life when I am feeling afraid or anxious. There are no verses in all of Scripture that have been more helpful to me in seasons of having fear or anxiety. Now, I've shared with you, I've had some seasons of anxiety over the last few years. I've had some steps that I've known that I've needed to take that have been very difficult. These verses were unbelievably key for me when I was making a decision to come here. Am I going to do that? Am I going to go down that road? That's kind of scary, God. That is new. These are some of the most powerful verses on being strong and having courage. You know, the setup of these verses is Joshua was just taking over leadership from Moses. Now, Moses was like the leader of the Israelites. unbelievably strong leader. But he also didn't get the children of Israel into the promised land, and there was trouble. And so Joshua must have been thinking, wow, God, can I really do this? Can I take this group into this land? Because it didn't work the first time so very well. I know you were with Moses, but are you going to be with me? And are the people really going to follow me? Are they going to have respect for my leadership? Or what's going to happen, God? Moses was a strong, powerful leader, but I don't know if I got what it takes. Joshua, I'm sure, was nervous. He was anxious. He was filled with fear. Now, Joshua was one of the greatest military commanders the world has ever seen. Unbelievable man of war, strong man, military commander. But listen to what God told him as he was telling him, get up. Get up and do what I'm asking you to do. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given it to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Look at verse 5. We have to remember this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Same promise he told to those disciples as he was giving them the Great Commission. I'll be with you always to the end of the age. Same truth. We need to remember that. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. That word courageous means literally to be alert, to be steadfast, to be strong, to be established, fortified, or to prevail. That's what God was telling Moses in the midst of his fear. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Then look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Not just courageous, be very courageous. That word means wholly courageous or exceedingly courageous. Be filled today, Joshua, with courage in the midst of your fear. Being careful to do all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay focused, Joshua, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day or night, day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times in these 9 verses he says, be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be very courageous. This morning, God would be telling us, Bayside, be strong and be courageous. I know there's fear and anxiety welling up within you for whatever it is that God is telling you to do or wherever it is he's telling you to go. But be strong and courageous. That verse 9, I can't tell you how many times I have had to quote that over and over and over again in my mind when I've had anxiety about something. When I've been worked up inside of me, I just can't tell you how many times I've went to that verse. Have I not commanded you, Mark? Be strong. Be courageous. I know you're worried right now. I know you're anxious right now. I know this thing is very difficult. But Mark, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't let fear get the best of you today, Mark. Don't be dismayed. Don't be despondent. Get up. You can do this. For God is with you and God is with me anywhere we go. Can I get an amen? God is with us so we can be strong and courageous. Whether that's going this morning to your neighbor, whether that's going to someone at your school or at your work, whether that's going to a family member or whether that is going halfway across the world, we are going to be led to go. You know, disciples are always, please hear this, in my estimation, in my experience, and in my study of God's Word, Disciples are always being led out of their comfort zone. Disciples of Jesus Christ are always being led somewhere consistently that is outside of their comfort zone. God is taking them somewhere that is going to cause an internal conflict within you and within me. Am I going to stay home? Am I going to stay safe? Am I going to stay financially secure? Am I going to stay lazy? Am I going to stay selfish? Am I going to stay exactly where I am? Or am I going to go? The life of a disciple of Christ is always having that internal pot stirred up. God is always taking us somewhere or to someone that we have not gone before. That's the life of a disciple. That is the life of a follower of Jesus. Jesus' life was lived that way. Jesus' main disciples' lives were lived that way. Jesus' disciples of the disciples were lived that way. There is no reason to think that our lives won't be lived that way. If we are getting too comfortable in this world, then we're not following the path of Jesus. If we're getting too comfortable, and if our goal is on our comfort, then we're not following the life of Christ. We can be very comfortable and very secure in our salvation. Amen? Very secure in who we are in Christ. Very secure and comfortable with our place in heaven. But we should not and cannot, and most of the times as disciples, will not be terribly comfortable in this world. Because He is going to be calling us to go somewhere or go to someone that needs the gospel, that needs to hear about Jesus. And that will shake our world. And that will rock our world. And that's when the internal conflict needs to be settled. Am I going to go or am I going to stay? I want to share three quotes on courage. Now, these three quotes have been attributed. I started to do some study on these three quotes, and I found them attributed to about a half a dozen different people. So I don't know who actually made these quotes, but I like them, and they're three very similar, and they work in progression. And I want to share these three quotes with you. I don't know who coined them, wrote them initially. Doesn't really matter. These are about courage and fear. First one, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. See, courage is not being a person who's never afraid. Courage is not being a person who is never afraid. It is a person who makes a judgment that whatever this is that I'm supposed to do is more important than the fear that I'm currently experiencing inside. Courage starts as a mental decision that this, whatever this is that I need to do, has more value in my life than the fear that I'm currently experiencing. That's the start of courage. Second quote. Courage is not the absence of fear, but acting in spite of fear. So courage first makes a mental decision, it's more important. Then courage says, you know what, I'm not only going to make that decision, I'm going to act on that. I am going to do something about that. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not just what? Hearers only, deceiving yourselves. A true disciple will not only hear the word, a true disciple will not only make a mental decision, I'm going to do this in spite of my fear, they will then act on that fear. And that's the second part of courage. Third quote on courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, I love this, but the triumph over it. But the triumph over my fear. When we live in a state of total fear, and we live, and I'm not saying we don't ever have it, but when we allow fear or anxiety to stop us from doing what we know we need to do, then we're not being courageous. Then we're letting that fear stop us. But when we make a mental decision, what I need to do is more important than my fear, what I need to do, I'm going to act on, and then what I need to do, I'm going to see triumph in. If you've ever had something you know you needed to do, but you were freaked out about it, you had to go through the mental process, am I going to do it? And then you act on it. And then you actually get through something. I heard of somebody who was scared to death in our congregation to fly in a plane. I mean scared to death. And I understand that because flying in a plane is not natural at all. You're going up in a big metal tube. That's what you're doing. And you're thousands and thousands of feet in the air flying in. Now, it's normal to us. But if you took like Joshua and you told Joshua, I'm going to put you in a metal tube and fly you thousands of feet up in the air at thousands of miles an hour, however fast you go. He'd say, "You're crazy." But there was somebody in our congregation who was scared to death to fly. But they faced that fear. They made a decision that where they wanted to go was more important. And then they acted on it. They got in the plane, and then they got to wherever they are going. And they were filled with such a positive feeling of courage. And courage is not the absence of fear. It's making a decision that's more important than that. And it's acting in spite of it, and then it's finding triumph in it. We're going to hear a story this morning, and I'm so excited about this. We're going to hear a story of a young person in our congregation who had to face some fear and have some courage. Hannah. I'd like to have Hannah Durfee. Come on forward. Hannah is she's a third-year student here at UWS, and she is majoring in social work. Is that correct? Yes. And she has a heart, and I love this part of the heart that Hannah has for Native American people, and hopes someday to minister significantly to the Native American culture, to that ethnos, that people group. Also hopes someday to work with moms and new babies and that whole thing. And I think Hannah's story, and specifically the story of what happened and what she did over the summer, is a great picture, and it highlights courage in the face of fear. So Hannah, why don't you just kind of tell us a part of your story of God leading you to take a short-term mission trip.
Yeah. All right. So I knew that God was calling me to do something different this past summer, and I had no idea what it was. I didn't want to stay in the Twin Ports, and I was just kind of discouraged at where I was going to be taken. And then my friend Pilar came into my room one night, and she was like, "Hannah, I'm having a lot of trouble figuring out what summer project I'm going to go on." And summer project is a missions trip that is organized by CREW, which is a campus ministry that I'm involved with on campus. And she had to choose between three. And the Holy Spirit moved me, and I was like, "Let's apply to this one together." So this one was called Fourth Journey, and it was a six-week missions trip to the Middle East, and we had to raise $4,600 in 3 months.
And you didn't have $4,600.
No, I'm a college student. And so obviously, like, fear kind of hit me after the application went through and I got accepted, and I freaked out because I don't really have a solid base of people to send letters to and all that kinds of stuff. So just going through that, and sent out all the letters. Thankfully, like, in the first month, the money was coming in really, really well, and I got about half of it down. And so that was super encouraging, and it was such a testimony in how, like, I needed to go to this place and share God's word.
Now, you said in the first couple of weeks, or first month or so, about half of it came in.
Yeah.
Okay, then did it keep coming in, or did it slow down?
Totally slowed down.
Oh.
I didn't see many checks come in the second month, and then the third month, no checks came in.
Uh-oh.
And that was really scary, too. I have a serious, like, burden for finances, obviously being a college student and having a lot of debt and all that kind of stuff, so it was really freaky to me, and I tried to control it a lot. And then it came to the last day.
The last day before you're going to go.
Yeah, the last day before we're going to go, and I still had half of it. So that's $2,000 that I still needed to raise.
You had $2,000 to raise it the day before you're going to go?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So tell us the story.
Okay, so my trip leaders and my friend Flyer that I mentioned, they were all encouraging me to go talk to Pastor Mark.
Because I have a lot of money. I'm devoted. Just so you know, if you need a loan, go ahead.
And so that took a lot of breaking my pride, because I do not ask for anything. That is just part of my personality, and I really like to give. And so it took a lot of courage for me to talk to Pastor Mark and say, "Hey, can you help me out? I need $2,000 to raise by today." So,
yeah, I don't get a lot of those on Sunday morning.
Yeah, no kidding. So I'm sure that it was a really huge shock to him and everything, but he was very gracious, and he was like, we'll see what we can do. So after a couple of, like, some networking throughout the church among people that I kind of know and all that kind of stuff, a very nice couple gave me a substantial amount of money, and that brought me down to $1,500. And so I still have $1,500 left to raise. And then a few more things kept on coming in, and then that kind of, and then some anonymous donor said that he would give me a loan. And
from Bayside.
From Bayside.
Somebody said they'd give you the money, mm-hmm. but then you'd have to fundraise when you got back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I wasn't exactly sure if I wanted to do that just because rent, tuition, all that kind of stuff afterwards. So, but that kicked my butt into gear, and I got all my things packed. And as we were going down to the cities, me and my friend, I counted all the money. I said, I called Pastor Mark with the amount of money that I had left so that I could get the loan. And he didn't pick up, so I left a message.
No, I saw it was you, so I purposefully, like... Oh, and so I was going, oh, I'm not taking that call. Mute. Beep. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't. Go ahead. Keep telling your
but
story.
But it was okay. Great, even if that was the case.
Yeah,
Yeah, seriously, because 5 minutes later, my trip leader called me, and he was like, Hannah, don't worry about that loan. There's a check for $1,500 waiting for you at the hotel. So,
So God provided.
God provided at the last second, it was such a huge, broke my burden of finances, so that was really great.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. And that was a huge fear, you said.
Mm-hmm.
But you faced it, and you went. Tell us about the work that you did once you got there. Now, you can't tell us the name of the country, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a closed country, and
So you have to be a little bit
careful.
Okay, but it's in the Middle East?
Yep, and so it is, it's a country that's 99% Muslim, and we went over there to do outreach on a college campus and help out a local church. And we're in a city of 2 million people, and there are only 20 believers of Christ.
Hang on. You said 2 million people and 20 believers.
Mm-hmm.
Did we hear that? 2 million people, one known church, and 20 total believers. You had how many people in your group?
We had 20. So,
you doubled the Christian population in that city.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it was really great. Our trip leaders had set four goals for us. One was to initiate with people, so that's just like go up to them, see if they speak English. And then hopefully if they would sit down and have coffee with us or chat with us, then we would hopefully have a spiritual conversation with them. And that's just kind of saying, yeah, well, we're Christian and all that kind of stuff, and this is what we believe in. And then hopefully that would go into a conversation about the gospel. And then hopefully after we cultivate a good enough relationship with these people, then they would come to know Christ.
So you had four goals. First of all, start a relationship, see if they speak English.
Mm-hmm.
How many, did a number of them speak English?
Yeah, actually. God led us to a lot of people. When we were over there, we reached almost 1,000 people. Between the 20 of us, including like three other interns that were there for crew.
You mean you had 1,000 conversations with people in those 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then how many of them led to spiritual discussion?
About 500, and then we had about 350, 400 conversations about the gospel, which was really great. And unfortunately, nobody came to know Christ, but as the interns are over there, and these people value relationships a lot. And so if you take the time to get to know them over a longer period of time, like these interns are doing, they've seen three people come to know Christ in a very spiritually dry country.
That is amazing. But now I want to get this. You had well over 1,000 conversations, mm-hmm. and 300 to 400 that led either to a spiritual discussion, and then 300 to 400 that led to a discussion about Christ,
mm-hmm.
with 20 people for 6 weeks. Okay, Bayside, do we hear that? If we could get focused and have some goals of sharing the gospel, imagine what hundreds of people could do over the next 12 months. But that was the focus. So you achieved your goals. Now today is, and I don't know if you know this, but today is Prayer for the Persecuted Church Sunday. And there's information out on the tables, and we're going to be praying today, especially for the persecuted church. Was there any either overt or sort of subtle persecution that you saw, either of the church there or even of you guys? Did you have to do anything differently?
Well, we had to speak in code a lot of the time, and so praying was rapping, and God was dad, and...
So you couldn't say the word pray or praying, or you couldn't say the word God?
Yeah, we couldn't really say that unless we were in a one-on-one conversation about something spiritual or something like that.
Because something could happen to you if you did,
mm-hmm.
potentially.
Yeah, we had to be really careful about who we talked to, because there's a really oppressive government over there, and so... If you speak to someone, for example, in a politics major, then...
The intern's over there just because of being too bold or whatever?
Yeah. We had one person who always had to go back, but that didn't happen, so praise God for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you achieved your goals. It's been wonderful, fruitful. But now tell us about kind of what your life was like, or what have the results been since you've been home?
All right. So, obviously, that story about support raising was absolutely crazy. So he completely broke my fear of finances and my control that I had over that. And
Wait, he broke your fear of finances?
Yeah.
How many of you in this room have a fear of finances? The rest of you lie! No, but he broke that. He helped that. Put you in a place where you had to face that fear. Through facing that fear, finding the courage to face it, he helped you in the middle of that. Raising more money than you had, and he helped that.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Okay, what anything else that kind of happened?
He definitely gave me a boldness, and he showed me the weight of the gospel and what we are supposed to be doing as followers of Christ. And I just have a verse to share.
Do you want me to hold your mic? Can you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
You coordinated? Excellent.
Okay, so I'm going to take us back to the Great Commission that Pastor Mark was talking about in the beginning. I just want to highlight that Jesus says go 4 times, and he says it very clearly. And that's something that I had a lot of trouble with before getting called to do this. It took me so much to step outside of my comfort zone. It took me so much courage to step out of our apartment in the morning when we were in the Middle East to go share the gospel with these people who are so lost. So first it says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. You will see God in your work when you obey him. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not just America, all nations. And surely he will be with you until the end of the age. So basically, just take up your cross and follow him. When you take up your cross and you give all of your burdens and all of that, God will fill you with the fruits of the Spirit. How many of you are familiar with Galatians 5:22 and 23? Okay, well, when you take up your cross and follow him, you'll be blessed so graciously with these fruits that he's given you. And those are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And something that I'll never forget while I was over there, it was this conversation with a girl who had no religion. She was looking for something, but she had so many discouragements on how horrible humans can be sometimes, especially in her country. And her name is Duigu. And she was very sweet.
Name is what?
She's very sweet. She was studying biochemistry. She wanted to be a doctor or something like that. I don't know. And she said to me after she just said, like, I just can't handle humans. And she said, you know, we need to create heaven on earth. And God can achieve that. If we just do that exact thing, fill ourselves with the fruits of the Spirit.
Fill ourselves with him, and then we go. And then we can be Jesus and bring the gospel. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but we are his hands and feet, and so we must go. Hannah, thank you. Can we get a round of applause for Hannah? You did great. The question that I want to close with this morning is, where is God calling and telling you to go? If little Hannah can have the courage to go. I mean, go and share the gospel and bring the gospel. Those 6 weeks changed your life. And when we go, it will change our lives. You know, number one, you're never too young. Joshua was a very young boy when he began to be apprenticed by Moses. But you're also never too old. Joshua, as far as we know, was about 85 when he led the children of Israel into the promised land. We are never too young. We are never too old. We just need to rise up, get up, and go to these places that God is telling us. So where is he calling you to go? To your neighbor? To a longtime friend? To a family member? What is he calling you and telling you to do? Get involved in a new ministry and a new program? Is he telling you to give more sacrificially? I don't know, but I do know that it will take courage. I took those three quotes and I combined them into one of my own. We're going to end with this quote. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that the gospel is more important than my fear. And it's the willingness to go and do in spite of my fear, and the final triumph in Christ over all fear. Courage is the decision that if we truly believe what we say we believe, if we really believe people are eternally destined for one of two places, and we have been filled with that hope and that knowledge of the good news of the gospel, and we believe that those who don't know that are destined for eternity without God, then we need to make a judgment decision in our mind that taking the gospel to all nations is more important than our fear. Then it's more important than the fear that we may face. And I know that fear. I live that fear. I understand that. But we have to make a decision that the gospel is more important. And then we need to go and do in spite of that fear to then see Christ triumph over all fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and again, our hearts are filled with gratitude and thankfulness for what you have done. Lord, you saved us. You are truly mighty to save. And you saved us, not because of works, anything that we did, but because of your amazing grace. Because of the goodness and loving kindness that you poured out when you gave your very self, when you gave your son. And Jesus, we thank you that you have given yourself to us so that we could be saved and then take this good news to all the nations. And God, whatever people group, whatever person that you're calling and leading and telling us to go and talk to, give us the courage, God. Help us to make that decision that the gospel, the good news, the gospel, the saving grace that you poured out is more important than the fear that we may face. Father, be with us this week as we go into the nations that you've put in front of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.